or to entwine, or to wrap tightly. This is a beautiful concept of waiting upon God, not as something passive, but entwining our hearts with Him and His purposes. And as I read this, I began to think about waiting in this context and what it meant, and it produced such a fascination and interest in me that I wanted to dive deeper into it, and I wanted to share with you what God was showing me through this meaning of this word, wait, quava. Now, we're all waiting for something in life, right? We're all waiting for something. I mean, just in the process of getting here, how many stoplights did you have to wait at? Or how many of you are waiting to get a text back from a friend or a family member? I mean, maybe your friends and family are better at texting back than I am. I was sharing this part of the message with my boyfriend, and he started chuckling a little. And I was like, ooh, I think maybe I am a little bad at getting back to people. But anyway, hopefully your friends and family are a little bit better. But waiting is short. There's short waiting. There is things that is not so short, though. There's waiting that you are in that isn't going to just change as fast as a stoplight or a text message returns. Like waiting for a dream or a desire on your heart. Like waiting for breakthrough. Or waiting for things to change that really, really need to change. Currently, as I am even speaking to you, I'm waiting to hear back on a job interview. I have also, over the years, waited for all sorts of things, direction, healing, restoration, dreams, and so many more things that I'm waiting on even now. And waiting is usually seen in a negative context, right? Like, I only have to mention waiting at a doctor's office, and that can start to produce some anxiety and stress in us just thinking about it, even though we're not even there. Because waiting seems to be this negative space in a place where nothing is happening. But what I want to show you today is I think the exact opposite is true. The exact opposite is happening. I believe waiting is our connection point to God, and waiting in connection is key to living our lives to the fullest that God has for us, entwined with Him. So today I want to talk about waiting in this connection point, what we can learn from those who have waited before us, and living a life entwined with God. If you want to turn your Bibles to Psalm 27, if you have a Bible with you, or there's some Bibles in the back that you're more than welcome to use, we'll also have all of the passages on the screen for you. And as you look for that passage, Psalm 27, I'm going to pray for us again. God, we love you and we are so thankful to be here with you this morning. God, I ask that you come in and you speak directly into hearts here that are listening, God. Anyone who is here and anyone who will hear this message later, I pray that you speak directly into their heart. God, I pray that my words, anything that is just of me, that would fall away, but the words that you want to have heard, that those would be speak deeply into hearts, that you would pierce hearts, God. Speak directly to people this morning. And I just take authority over this room right now, and I say, any spirits of chaos or confusion or depression or lack, you must leave right now in the name of Jesus. Any spirit of distraction, you must go right now in the name of Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit can speak and breathe and move and be in this place. God, we love you. We thank you for your presence with us. We say you are welcome here. We desire you. We seek you. We want you to be with us in our midst. And we want to hear what you have to say, God. So we sit and we listen and we say, speak, God. We are listening. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, what is up with waiting and connection? I want to read that footnote again to you. That Hebrew word, most commonly translated as wait or wait upon the Lord, is kwaba, which also means to tie together by twisting or to entwine or wrap tightly. And this is a beautiful concept of waiting upon God, not as something passive, but entwining our hearts with Him and His purposes. I wanted to look this up as well, not just in this footnote, but I wanted to look up kwaba in the King James Version Old Testament Hebrew lexicon. And this is the definition it gives in that lexicon. One is to wait, look for, expect. To wait or look eagerly for, to lie in wait for, to wait for or linger for. And two is to collect and to bind together. This whole concept of looking for and waiting expectantly, I think, could be a whole message of in itself. So today I'm just going to focus on the one part of binding together. And how binding together and what happens as you wait. And in this context of binding together and waiting actively and not passively. When I was a kid, my dad took me out to eat a couple of times, and I remember after we ordered, we would play this game that my dad called football. He would take a little coaster or a little sugar packet or whatever was on the table, and we would have two tries to give a little flick to that coaster sugar packet to get it to cross the table and to get to the edge and just stick over the lip just a little bit without falling over. Without falling off the table. And we would just go back and forth and back and forth and, you know, count the points to see who would win. And we would do this up until our food came. And as I was thinking about this that we did together growing up, I realized I don't have a lot of memories of waiting for food. I mean, I do maybe from the times that I was really hungry and I just wanted to eat. But what's so interesting is my dad took this moment in what could have been boring and just you're sitting as a child hungry. He took it and created something that we made a connection on. We built relationship. I have memories of this. And I think this is a small piece of what active waiting can look like. Not passive waiting, because our focus wasn't on what we were waiting for. Our focus was what we were doing, on this relationship that we were building. He made waiting something fun. It was active. We were connecting and becoming closer. Something was happening in the waiting. It wasn't a negative space. It wasn't nothing. We were building relationship and connection. And I think that's a beautiful picture of what waiting can be in the context of relationship. It can be beautiful. It builds connection, even sometimes just in the smallest and simplest ways. And I think waiting with God can be similar. It has to do with your focus, though, right? Are you focusing on what isn't there? Are you focusing on what you're waiting for? Are you focusing on what you don't have? Or are your eyes turned to Jesus and all of who He is and who He is to you? And I want to speak all about all that more in a minute, but I want to take a second and talk about waiting outside of connection. Because waiting outside of connection can have a negative effect. Waiting without connection can have fear, stress, anxiety, and make your mind wander. It can take you into despair and overthinking. Waiting outside of connection and relationship can be a discouraging and disheartening thing. Sitting in a red light or sitting in a doctor's office is something that will pass. It won't last long. But what about waiting to hear from the doctor about your results? Or what about waiting to hear if treatment is working? Or what about waiting as you heal physically, mentally, or emotionally? Or someone that you love is waiting to heal? What about waiting for your financial situation to change? Or someone that you love to find Jesus? If we're not careful, waiting can pull us into despair. So I want us to go into Psalm 27 now, verse 14, because Psalm 27 uses this Hebrew word kwaba, this wait. Verse 14 of Psalm 27 says this: wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. I also wanted to share the King James Version of this as well. It's got a little bit of these and thines, but I think it has a good way of wording it. In the King James Version, Psalm 27, verse 14 says this, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Waiting isn't for the faint of heart. Waiting is for the heart that is connected with Jesus. There's a call to be strong as you wait, because it's not easy. Another time this word quava is used is in Psalm 25, verse 5. The King James Version says this, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." I really like the way that the Passion Translation hits this concept of entwining and wrapping our hearts with God as well. So I want to read that one to you as well. Psalm 25, verse 5 in the Passion Translation. "Escort me along the way. Take me by the hand and teach me, for you are the God of my increasing salvation. I have wrapped my heart into yours." This is where that footnote was about quava, about that intertwining of that wrapping together. And if this is what it truly means to wait, if it means to wrap my heart into God's, I want to know more about that. I want to know more about wrapping my heart into God's. And so I started looking up this word wrap and entwine. I looked up the definition of entwine. It is to wind or twist together or interweave. Some other synonyms are to wrap around, weave, intertwine, interlink, interlace, interweave, crisscross, link, lace, twine, braid. And as I started thinking more about this, our wrapping our hearts, entwining our hearts in with God's, I wanted to get something more physical that I could see, more than just an idea. I wanted something physical that we could look at and see that would give us this picture of what it is to wind and what it is to twist together. And so I got really curious as to actually how they made rope. And so we're going to do a little something different this morning. I've got a little video for you today on how rope is made. And so I want you to sit. It's only like 2 minutes. It's not super long. I want you to sit, and as you watch it, think about that process of what it is that it takes to intertwine our hearts with God in this concept of physically watching rope being intertwined together.
Woven from Manila, sisal or flax fibers, traditional ropes are a binding element in our world. The process starts with racks of natural fiber yarns. The yarns are funneled through separators, which configure them to twist evenly together. The fibers then travel through tubes that squeeze them into bundles. Workers tie the ends of the bundles onto a wheeled vehicle called the forming machine. They roll the machine back until there's no slack in the bundles. The machine is then sent to the opposite end of the factory, over 1,000 feet away. As the machine travels backwards, its gears turn hooks, twisting the yarns into a tight configuration. The formation of the twists ensure an even distribution of tension. This is what makes rope so strong. This long indoor space is called a rope walk. There aren't many of them left in the world. When the machine reaches the back wall, it stops, and workers cut both ends of the strands. They tie them to posts to maintain tension and prevent unraveling. On one side, they tie three of the strands to a machine that will transform them into a rope. Halfway down, they bring in a cart that holds a piece of grooved wood known as a top. they tuck the twisted strands into the grooves of the top. They then roll the cart down to face the rope-making machine. A worker ties rope around the strands in the top. This holds them in place as the rope-making machine twists the three strands into one. The rope machine with twisting hooks remains in the same place. When the cart arrives at the opposite side of the building, the rope is formed. A worker removes the ties around the top. They now have a piece of rope that's over 700 feet long and almost 5 inches in diameter.
So hopefully you enjoyed that little educational moment there. But I thought it was so fascinating. Did you hear what he said about how the tension, the evenly set out tension, is what makes the rope so strong at the beginning? And then how they tie it up to keep that tension? And I thought about waiting and how hard waiting can be and how much tension that you feel in the waiting. And I went, yes, this is how it feels, but this is what is binding us together with God. It's this tension that is binding us together with God. And it makes sense. It makes sense that it's hard because we're being entwined with Him. Again, you can see it takes strength to wait. It takes strength to stay in that tension and not give up and not give in to despair or discouragement or to start thinking, I can't do this anymore. Psalm 27, verse 14, I want to read it again. It says, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Friends, be strong and take heart. Be strong because it's not easy. The tension is hard. That be strong and take heart is sandwiched in between be strong and be strong. That wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. It's wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, and being strong is in the middle of that. The waiting is sandwiching that strength and that taking heart. And to be able to wait, to be able to have that hope and to be able to be strong, I think the verse before is so key. So we're going to look at verse 13 in Psalm 27, and it says this, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Friends, in your life, in your lifetime, you will see Him and His goodness. Because your waiting is focused on Jesus and on truth. It doesn't make it easy, but it makes it full of His goodness. Friends, we must remain confident, grounded in truth, truth of who God is and who God is to you. You can know that God is good. But do you know that God is good to you and for you? And this doesn't mean we're not going to face hardships. Jesus is very clear that we will face trials of all kinds. But this doesn't change who God is and who God is to you. Have confidence in God's goodness. And if you need more confidence, look to Him. Look at His face. Earlier in Psalm 27, verse 8 and 9, the psalmist writes this, my heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. And then in verse 9, it goes on to say, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me. God, my Savior, here. The psalmist says, I am seeking your face. And then he cries out to God and says, do not hide your face from me. Why? Because He knows. He knows that if you wait outside of connection with God, you can fall into despair. Waiting outside of connection with God and holding on the truth and the confidence of who He is. Waiting outside of seeing God's face. If we are in that space of waiting, not in connection with God, we are in trouble. we are running towards despair because waiting isn't easy. That tension is not easy. Friends, waiting isn't easy, but it is made possible through connection with God, and waiting is part of how our connection grows. So what can we learn from those who have waited before us? I've been thinking about how so many great Bible stories we hear about are about those who waited. Noah waited for the rain to come, and he waited for the rain to stop, and for the water to subside. Abraham and Sarah waited for a son. Joseph waited to get out of prison after being wrongly accused. Moses waited in the desert not once but twice. David waited for the promise of the kingdom. All of Israel and the world waited for the salvation of the Lord. And like Tim talked about last week, the disciples waited for the Holy Spirit. And if you look closely in these stories, you learn so much about God in the waiting. And you see the connection and the faith that they had and that grew in that waiting. At times you can see the despair that they gave into and the price that it cost them. But in the end, faith ultimately won. But it begs to ask the question, what if they hadn't waited? What would it look like if they hadn't waited in connection with God and gave up? What if Noah hadn't waited actively as he waited for the rain? What if he passively said, God, you know what? That sounds interesting. I'll wait till the rain comes and then I'll start building the ark. What would have happened? His family wouldn't be there. The animals wouldn't be there. Actually, we wouldn't be here. But he chose to wait actively, to have faith in the Lord, and to take step by step every day and to build this ark, to build a huge ark while he waited. Abraham and Sarah did have trouble waiting. We can see that. They decided to have a kid their way instead of God's way, and we can see that it caused hurt and heartbreak, but that didn't change God's promise. That didn't change what God fulfilled and the promise that he still brought to them and that he gave them. The reason Joseph got out of jail was because he decided to bless people around him. He decided to minister to those around him in jail. When he had gotten as low as you think you could get, he ministered and blessed others. I think it could have been very easy for him to say, you know what, I need to take some time. I'm just going to be in my moment, in my dark space, and I'm not going to talk to anyone. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to be all by myself. And I think we would have given him a pass and said, you know what, you have been through so much up until this point. It's okay, don't worry about it. But then what would have happened? He would not have been risen into second in command with Pharaoh. And he and his family and all of Egypt would not have been saved. He waited actively and in connection with God. Friends, what if David had given up on the promise of God that he would be king one day? He had ample opportunities to give up and say, this is too much, this is too hard. And there's this moment, actually, right before David becomes king, he doesn't know this. But it's right before he becomes king, and at what could be his breaking point, this is what 1 Samuel 30 says, starting in verse 1. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. The King James Version renders the last line there in verse 6. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. David could have given up all as lost at this point. David was no longer able to live in his own country. He had lost his family. The king of his own country was trying to kill him. But instead of giving up, he turned and he strengthened himself in the Lord. And shortly after this, he did become king. But I think this is what is key. This is what is key, strengthening ourselves in the Lord as we wait, coming to God and connecting with him. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Friends, if you are looking for faith, if you are looking for hope, if you are looking for connection, if you are looking for help in the waiting, fix your eyes on Jesus. I had a moment a few weeks ago where I was feeling very low because of some decisions in my life that I had made, things that I was not proud of, and things that I was looking for hope that could change, that I could grow, that I could leave things behind me. And I remember this deep, deep feeling of not knowing what to do. But I stopped for a moment at work and I closed my eyes. I just closed my eyes and I looked at Jesus. And I just let him sit with me and let his peace and his hope and his love entwine me to him. And I felt lighter. Everything hadn't changed, but I felt closer and I felt that strength that he had, that he was going to give me, that we were in this together. And I think this is what it takes, turning to God to strengthen ourselves in our weakest points. So how do we live a life entwined with God while we wait? Waiting is part of our everyday life. Whether you're waiting in line at a grocery store, or if you're waiting to see if the judge will rule in your favor in your court case or the court case of somebody you love. Isaiah 40:31 uses this word again, quava, this waiting. And it says this, Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And friends, this isn't just saying that those who sit and wait. It's saying that those who are waiting on the Lord, that quava, those who are intertwining themselves with the Lord, they will renew their strength. You who are entwining yourself in the Lord, you will renew your strength. You will mount up on wings like eagles. You will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint as you are intertwined with the Lord. How do we entwine ourselves to God? We fix our eyes on Jesus. We fix our eyes on Jesus. And from some of my past messages, and I don't want to go deep into it right now, but I've talked about how where your focus is, that is where your worship is. What your focus is on is what you are worshiping. Our focus is a form of worship. And in Jeremiah 2:5, it says, this is what the Lord says. What fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. Again, I've spoken on this before in this concept of what you worship, you become like. If you worship something worthless, you become worthless yourself. But it would track then that if you are worshiping God, if you are worshiping him, you are becoming more like him. As you entwine yourself with the Lord, as you wait in connection with God, you are becoming closer to him. You are becoming more like him. You are becoming more like what you worship. Friends, waiting brings us to a space where we can turn and not give into despair. Or like David, we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Waiting isn't easy, but it is a place of holy connection to the Lord if we allow it to be. Waiting is our door of opportunity for those who will take it. I feel like my life was changed in the waiting that I have done in my life. I didn't know it at the time, but when I was in high school, I was very sick. I had all sorts of health issues. I was going to doctor upon doctor trying to figure out what was going on. But what followed in that was I wasn't able to do sleepovers with friends. I didn't have that energy or capacity to do that. And so night after night, it would just be me and Jesus. And I would sit, I would lie in my bed, and I would just talk to him. And night after night, year after year, as this continued in my sickness, I was being drawn closer. I was being entwined by God as we were waiting for my healing to come, as we were praying and praying and praying that the healing would come. And it eventually came, praise the Lord. But what happened in those nights was I was intertwined with God in the waiting. My relationship with him grew. And where I am today, who I am today, what my life looks like now, my relationship with God now is so much based on what happened in that intertwining. What happened in that moment of waiting. The sickness was grueling, but the gift that I received was beyond anything. Friends, I hope you can see that waiting is our connection point. And waiting in connection is key to living the life, the full life that God has for us entwined with him. I just want to talk about a couple practicals that we can do while we wait. One is close your eyes and just look at Jesus. Just take a moment, close your eyes. Maybe ask him where he is. Ask him where he is in the room with you or where he is in that moment. Or just look for his face. Ask him to come. Say, look at me, Lord, let me see you. You can put on worship music. You can sing aloud. Read the promises of God. Read the ways that he has promised you and what the waiting will bring, like Isaiah 40. Seek others to pray alongside you. Don't feel that you need to do this alone. We are in community. We are part of the body of Christ. No part is alone. And continually fix your eyes on Jesus. Remember that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In our living, we will see the goodness of the Lord. No matter how dark your world looks or feels, God's light is coming, and he is coming if you will wait on him. And I've got a song here for us to listen to, and please sing along if you want to sing along. But I also want you to take a moment and close your eyes and start by giving thanks to God for something. Start by giving thanks because that opens up a connection point with you and God. It can be big, it can be small, but let it bring your connection to God and then sit with him. Sit with him, ask Jesus where he is with you, and then sit with God in whatever you are waiting for.